Today on Blue 58, we bring in two guests that are going to help us figure out a little bit more about what the Packers should do in the NFL draft.
Blue 58!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue 58, the one and only podcast of thepowersweep.com. I'm your host, John Meerdink, and I am happy to be with you here for another episode, especially because we've got a couple of guests today. I figured after weeks and weeks of talking about the NFL draft, we should bring in a couple guys who actually know what they're doing. And so I am pleased to welcome both Justice Mosqueda and Tyler Brook of Acme Packing Company to the show today. Their very popular series, Draft Talk, got a little bit interrupted this year due to some things out of their control. So I figured I would help them get their takes out into the universe and share a little bit about what they think the Packers are going to do. It's a long conversation. We had a lot of fun talking through a bunch of different prospects, and they've got some interesting ideas about what the Packers are going to do in the draft. So without further ado, let's listen to what they had to say. So we're a little more than a week out, almost exactly a week out from the draft starting. As far as takes, as far as movement and stuff, it's basically all happened. You guys have done your film breakdowns, and the draft talk kind of got interrupted there a little bit at the end. So I wanted to talk through the class as a whole, what you guys like, what you don't like, and really what stands out for you as far as, you know, coming down the stretch here in the draft. So looking at the class as a whole, take this whatever direction you want to go in. What do you like? What do you not like?
Well, whenever I think about the drafts, I think you got to address the first round first, right? So much of the conversation just happens there. I think the Packers' biggest positions of need are also where the draft is the weakest, unfortunately, which is probably why the team paid all that money to Xavier McKinney. But if you look at, you know, linebacker, which is a spot that, you know, massive question mark at this point. I mean, starters are Eric Wilson and Isaiah McDuffie opposite of Quay Walker right now, right? In base defense, which you would assume that they would play a little bit more because they're playing a 4-3, they're getting a little faster on their feet across the board, right? Maybe play that to more 12 personnel sets or even 11 personnel sets, depending on who, you know, that slot receiver is or whatever it is, right? There's not a lot of top linebackers in this class. The top guy on the consensus draft board is Edgerrin Cooper at 42, and the only other guy in the top 60 on the consensus draft board is Peyton Wilson, who has 3 season-ending injuries. So that's a big question mark, right? And then at safety, you could argue Cooper DeJean is the top safety prospect in this class. Now, will someone draft him to be a corner or safety? I kind of lean corner there. But if the Packers are up at 25, I can see them having such a big need at safety that they actually kind of help him make that transition. But you look at the other guys, and the top 70 – there's 2 guys ranked on the consensus draft board at the safety positions. Tyler Newbin, who's coming off of basically having his meniscus shaved down a little bit, which is why he ran really poorly in the pre-draft process and didn't run at the combine and all that stuff. He's at 46. And then Javon Bullard, who's like the only, you know, arrow moves up type of guy in this draft class, to me at least, in terms of the top safeties. And he's ranked 57. So I don't think linebacker or safety are really positions that the team can address at 25. So you start looking at alternatives, right? I think you're looking at probably corner and offensive line. We just ran a poll at APC. I basically use like the ESPN draft day predictor to kind of like shave down the board, which I'm not taking it as gospel, but the kind of threshold I hit was like, is there a 10% chance that this guy's available with the 25th pick, right? And basically the guys who are in contention at, you know, not quarterback, not wide receiver, not tight end positions that the Packers have already have a bunch of young talent. I'd be pretty surprised if they took them in the first round. The top 5 vote getters, and these were the only guys who got at least 5% of the vote, were Cooper DeJean, right? The corner out of Iowa. Troy Fatanu, the offensive lineman out of Washington. I don't know if he's going to be there, to be totally honest. He got 15% of the vote. DeJean got 43. Graham Barton, the offensive lineman out of Duke, he got 14%. Amarius Mims, who was brought in on a visit, he got 9%. And then Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback at Alabama, with 7%. So I kind of think those are the names to kind of focus on at 25. I'd probably rule out Fatanu. I don't think he's going to be there. I don't know what's going on with the ESPN draft day predictor. I don't think he's going to be there, but DeJean, Barton, Mims. And then I think Kool-Aid McKinstry is kind of like the break glass in case of emergency. Let's just take a player. He can kind of fit the scheme, add another cornerback type of guy.
Tyler, does
Yeah,
that
when I.
dovetail with your read?
Oh, yeah. Justice and I, frustratingly, I feel like have been in a line with a lot of stuff. But, it's panned out the last couple draft talk years. It feels like a lot of guys that we bang the table for have tended to pan out when they end up being Packers. But as far as like some maybe day two, early day two stuff, wide receiver is insanely deep this year. I mean, I've watched 22 guys, and even if I don't have like a even a day two grade on them, like there's something there on each of these guys. I would not be surprised if the Packers kind of take an earlier swing than expected on another receiver just to keep bolstering a strength simply because of the value in the draft. I mean, there are just guys. I think of Xavier Leggett. If you want some Christian Watson insurance, there you get that height, weight, speed guy.
That's the thing that I think is interesting at receiver. It's like, what kind of a mold are we looking at? Because so many of these guys, I mean, like Wicks is the route runner, Dobbs is kind of like the red zone guy. Like, if they do attack receiver and it's a guy who runs fast, that's when we start looking at Christian Watson and it's like, all right, you got to earn your reps in camp at this point.
The other things, I think top 50, there are some like there's obviously a very top tier of corners, but I think that second tier kind of surprised me that there's a few guys in there that I was kind of intrigued in. There's a couple bigger edges I think the Packers could take a look at in that day two range. Obviously a couple running backs, and then a few intriguing D linemen. I think the top five or six prospects on the D line are guys that I've really enjoyed watching.
We'll get to those guys here in a second. I want to start on offense as we go position by position. We don't have to spend a ton of time on quarterbacks, but I do have a couple of questions I want to throw your way. Caleb Williams has kind of been the consensus guy at the top of the draft since the start of last football season. Basically, everybody assumed that he would be the top quarterback and maybe the top pick in the draft. And it looks like things are headed that way. So my question to you guys is he your top guy? If so, how much farther ahead of your number two guy is he? And then we'll talk about some late round quarterbacks after we get that out of the way.
He's not my top guy, but it is razor thin margins. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks that have all this flash that hold on to the ball too long in college, becomes a bad habit, becomes an issue in the NFL. And I don't really don't want to take away much from Caleb Williams because that arm talent, improvisational ability, just so much about him is special, special, special. I've been so high on Drake May since the first time I watched him. He is my number one quarterback. On the big board, he is two behind Marvin Harrison Jr., but then Caleb Williams is right there at three. And I do think there's a pretty significant tier drop off of after those two guys. I think, everyone talks about May, that he's a big body, he's got a good arm, really likes to stretch down the field. I don't think his athleticism gets talked about enough because everyone wants to talk about the out-of-pocket structure stuff with Williams. But when you consider how big May is and how athletic he is at that size, it does open up a lot for me. Like, I want to think about what you can do with the offense. And truthfully, I kind of hated North Carolina's offense this year. Kind of upset me watching it, playing, having to play a lot of hero ball with a lot of receivers that, don't exactly know how to handle working with May. It led to a lot of like bad timing. And I think that's not the whole reason for all these inaccuracy concerns, but I think it is, it plays a bit into the story of or narrative of it. But there is just so much I liked about him coming out as a redshirt freshman and starting for the Tar Heels. I mean, Justice and I, before this draft even happened, I think last year, even before last year's draft, we were like, this North Carolina kid might be QB1. So I have him as the top-ranked quarterback.
Justice, you land the same spot?
I think I would have Caleb at one if I actually had to turn in the pick. But
Yeah,
May
that's
is
the
close.
problem. Yeah.
May is close, and I agree with Tyler. I think there's a pretty decent drop off after that. Like, the Minnesota Vikings are trying to trade up for a quarterback, right? Pretty obviously because they have Sam Darnold and two first round picks. The guy I'm worried about them getting is May because I think he's the one who can kind of hit the ground running, right? Where, McCarthy is kind of like faster Jared Goff, I guess, right? Like more athletic Jared Goff. I'm not worried about like him potentially taking over the division. Like May is the guy where I'm like, oh man, if May is thrown to Addison and Jordan Jeff Justin Jefferson, and he has an offensive line and Aaron Jones is out of the backfield, like, ah, that's gonna be that might be pretty hard to stop.
That's the thing. Like, I get all the arguments against May. Like, I think the concerns are absolutely valid. But when I think about like what is the best case scenario for these quarterbacks outside of just Caleb Williams, like May is it, man. Like, that is your Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, big body. I can throw it on a rope like 25 yards downfield. Like, it's nothing.
Brian Gutekunst has been pretty open about the idea of adding more quarterback talent at some point in the draft. I'm thinking day three is probably what we're looking at there. Is there a day three quarterback that you would even look at this year?
I did not watch as many quarterbacks as I usually do now that the Packers kind of have one. I only watched seven guys. The one name I keep hearing with it as a developmental guy is Joe Milton, but I don't even know what you can do with it because he's just
Trick shot
it.
quarterback.
Yes, he's just like the strongest arm you've ever seen. I don't think he can hit anyone in stride right now. It's kind of a mess. I've heard Sam Hartman out of Notre Dame, but like that's just Sean Clifford with better hair. They're trying to think of other guys on this list. Maybe Jordan Travis, because he has an injury, you can just kind of sit him and let him develop, but he's smaller. Justice, I'm curious what names you have.
Yeah, so three guys I think are worth talking about. Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina was the guy who was, number one prospect coming out of high school, started at Oklahoma before Caleb, right? And then, Caleb obviously transferred to USC after that. But he's a guy who's kind of like put it together. He had like Johnny Manziel type of reputation at Oklahoma. And seems like he's kind of started to trend toward a more consistent direction in his life. And the Packers were at that pro day, and there's not a whole lot of, South Carolina guys who are available. So he's the guy who's probably going to go somewhere around that turn, I would assume, of day two, day three. Another guy who's worth mentioning, Devin Leary out of Kentucky. He's played a whole lot of football. I talked to Eric Galco, who I worked with at the XFL. He's running the East-West Shrine Game now. And obviously they've had like Aiden O'Connell. They've had Brock Purdy and stuff like that at the games since he got there at the Shrine Game. And he convinced me like Devin Leary is going to be a guy who's just going to hang around forever as like a backup quarterback. The other guy I want to mention is a guy that the Packers actually brought in on a visit, Gavin Hardison from UTEP. He's a guy who, what is it? He's 3 years away from being 3 years away. What was what is that old saying? But like, he has a freak arm, like legitimately freak arm. Like he's up there with like, maybe not Josh Allen, but like right after that. And I think he's overcoming like an elbow injury or something like that recently. Like that's why he's just like throwing now, and probably why Green Bay brought him in and stuff like that. But I don't even know if he's going to end up getting drafted or if he's going to be a UDFA type of guy. But if you're a UDFA and you're looking at quarterback rooms, and Sean Clifford is really your only competition for a roster spot, right? That becomes a pretty enticing thing for you. So maybe they can pull a Hardison or something like that as a UDFA.
Moving on to running back, it's kind of a position of need, maybe not super short term for the Packers. They seem pretty set at the top end of the depth chart, but looking down the road a year or two, they're probably going to need somebody. AJ Dillon, not super long for Green Bay, it would seem. May not even make it out of camp looking at what the structure of his contract is like. Who do you like at running back this year? Do the Packers go with a bit of a tendency breaker with Josh Jacobs and AJ Dillon being more of those big-bodied guys? Do they go with try to replicate Aaron Jones?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, right? Like, I like Brooks. I like Benson at the top. Estime from Notre Dame, I think his 40 time is super overrated. Like, watch the film. He broke away, a 70-yard play against North Carolina State, who has, that linebacker, Peyton Wilson, who runs a 4-4, right? Ray Davis is a guy that they brought in on a visit. I like him. He's kind of more of like an inside runner. Bucky Irving is probably the closest thing to like a, I guess him or Jalen Wright out of Tennessee, probably closest thing to like an AJ or Aaron Jones type of like change of pace back if you're going to compliment him with a big guy. Who knows what they do in terms of, do they just want to keep getting big, right? Like, are they just a team that likes big running backs, or do they want to compliment them? Tyrone Tracy's an interesting guy. He's probably going to be available in like the fifth round. He's a former wide receiver convert who played for Purdue. He's more of like a pass catcher out of the backfield more than anything. The other guy that I liked is Jahar Jordan out of Louisville. Everyone talks about Isaac Arendo because obviously, you know, his size and his speed and the Wisconsin connection and all that. But Jahar Jordan is a guy that I really like. If you're just going to want to like run a zone scheme, he's a really good one cut runner. Didn't impress a ton in terms of like his pre-draft measurables or anything like that. But this is a good running back class. I know a lot of people early on were like, you know, running back's a position like linebacker and safety, like it's not very good. I'm like, there's not like a first round pick or like a guy maybe in the top 45 picks or something like that. But there's a lot of depth in this class. Like, there's not a bell cow. Maybe Trey Benson becomes a guy like that. Or Jonathan Brooks, who's obviously overcoming an ACL injury. But there's so many guys that you can give touches if you want them to be part of a committee, which is kind of the spot that the Packers are in right now after you pay Josh Jacobs all that money, right?
Tyler, I know you've mentioned Trey Benson a couple times as a, I don't know, I can't ever tell how serious you are. Do you really like him, or are
Oh
you
yeah.
intrigued by the measurables? What tell me about Trey Benson?
No, I really like Trey Benson. He's my RB1. I just think he's like that full package, good build, good top end explosiveness, can finish plays with strength, phenomenal out of the backfield. My guy though, and I'm thinking about this from like a short-term viewpoint. You know, you have Jacobs for a few years. If you draft a guy this year, and it doesn't pan out, you know, you can just try again in the post Jacobs era at another running back. But I'm looking at home run threats, honestly. I want that change of pace back that can be a lightning in a bottle behind Jacobs and maybe Dylan. Jalen Wright out of Tennessee is that guy for me. Just like crazy speed. Vision is not there yet, but when you run gap with him and you're like, you have to run here or you'll die. He shows off that top end speed. I think you can work with that. And the way what I've always liked about Green Bay is they do really change up their run concepts, even on like a weekly basis. Find the running concepts that work for Wright, let him hit the hole at full speed, and he can take off for big plays. If you don't get Wright, the other guy I kind of like, I have him as RB6, is Marshawn Lloyd. Good quick feet, competitive as hell. Like, he's not going to give up when initially hit. He's got some pretty good top end play speed. So, you know, one of those, I put my foot in the dirt once and I'm just trying to go north south as fast as I can. Keep defenses on their toes, take some pressure, take some carries away from Jacobs so you can keep them fresh. And like I said, if it doesn't pan out, you've still got Jacobs as the starter. And then by the time, you know, you either cut Jacobs or his contract expires down the road, you know, you can try and hit again on a running back.
Lloyd is really fun. He's probably got the most interesting measurables other than Estime out of Notre Dame in the draft. 220 pounds at 5'8" and 6/8". That's fun. It's a fun package to watch, I think. Next up is wide receivers. Tyler, you said this is a phenomenally deep class that dovetails with what a lot of the research that I've done. Who are your names? I mean, we've got Marvin Harrison and the super duper elite prospects up at the top. Unless Gutekunst does something really, really wild and crazy, that's out of our purview, probably. But if you had to look at somebody maybe late first round, then day two, then day three, who are you looking at?
Oh man, that's tough. I'm high on AD Mitchell. I think he's not totally a Packers type, but I don't know who coached receivers at Texas, but the deep ball tracking from all those wideouts really blew me away. Just their ability to get underneath the ball. Jalen Polk is another guy late first. I think Matt LaFleur is probably bringing up every day. 6'2", 204, blocks his tail off, is great after the catch, you know, can make guys miss, has contact balance. Just seems like it'd be a really fun fit. Those day two guys, I mean, we mentioned Leggett. I'm just trying to look here. It's hard when you're trying to think of Packers bodies. Javon Baker out of Central Florida is a guy that, you know, has good size and really good route running. Like, he just is very good in that department. Maybe a Tez Walker, although he's a little light, but that's like your other, deep threat guy that can compete with Christian Watson. A lot of these guys are a little light. So I think outside of that, I don't have a ton of guys that I think are true Packers types. But they took Jaden Reed last year and it really panned out for them. So I am curious to see if they're, I know Amari Rodgers didn't work out, but if they're willing to go a bit outside their normal thresholds at wide receiver again.
Bo Melton, throw him in there as well. He's not really the
Yeah.
stereotypical height, weight, speed prospect for what the Packers look like, but it worked out for them. Now, over the course of a couple of years, he actually came on board late in 2022 and has stuck around for a while. Who knows, I guess, what shakes out for him this year. Justice, anybody you like at wide receiver?
Wide receiver and tight end are not positions where I put my energy this year. So
Yeah,
I am deferring to Tyler. My only wide receiver take is I hope Romeo Dunze is not available for the Bears at number
agreed.
nine. That guy killed my Oregon Ducks. And then he went into Twitter spaces and threatened to come back for another year to kick their ass again. So yeah, I'm very fearful of Odunze just haunting my life at this point.
Yeah, I love Odunze. And I kind of see the Davante Adams comparisons. So the idea that like an Aaron Rodgers comp and a Davante Adams comp in Chicago, wouldn't love
Let's jump to tight ends then real quick. Tyler, have you looked at anybody that really gets your
that.
trigger this year?
I've watched six, so not a lot of them.
Is the
Obviously
K-State
Bowers.
kid any good? Everyone,
Dude, I
I've
still haven't
heard a
watched
couple
him.
people.
I know he's a
Oh.
fullback. I know he's technically also a fullback. So I feel like it's sacrilege that I haven't watched him yet.
How dare you?
Outside of Bowers, I mean, you're just kind of taking swings on guys. Jared Wiley is an interesting one because he's 6'6 and tested really well. I don't think he's a great inline guy, though, which is kind of disappointing at his size. Theo Johnson is the other inline guy I thought was interesting. 6'6, 260, also tested very well. I think he could be a really good Y. He's a really good blocker. I think he's still working as a pass catcher and route runner. But those two guys are just like the intriguing, tested really well, big bodies. I think you can put them in multiple places.
That seemed to be the theme when I looked at tight ends this year. It's not a lot of guys who are good at tight end yet. It's guys that are, there's some
Athletic.
interesting height, weight, speed prospects, but not a whole lot more than that. But fortunately, we seem to have that figured out.
Yep.
Offensive line is where I think things could get a little bit weird and crazy in the first round if maybe somebody falls or if the Packers try to move up. You mentioned a couple names already. Graham Barton of Duke, I think in particular, is one that comes up a lot if you're running mock draft simulations and stuff. What do you like on the offensive line at the start of the draft and then more toward where the Packers operate, like fourth round and later? It seems like they really make a lot of hay with draft picks there.
Yeah, so I've looked at, the key to finding Packers offensive linemen, it's not tricky, right? Find a guy with a half decent three cone and short shuttle, the short area drills, right? And then a guy who has a tackle background. And if you're doing that, you're narrowing down the board a decent amount, but you're hitting on a lot of those guys being Green Bay Packers in the future. So generally, outside of like Jackson Powers Johnson, the Oregon center. Who obviously, right? Like he's a center, so he didn't have a whole lot of tackle experience or anything like that. The guys in the top probably 40 picks, you're considering all those guys as Packer type of guys, right? The interesting name to me is like JC Latham. Apparently the Packers like him. I don't know how much they like him. Like are they gonna jump all the way to like 12 or something to draft him? He was Alabama's right tackle last year. He's really, really good, in my opinion. I wouldn't be shocked if someone had him like second off the board behind Joe Alt. Obviously there's arguments for Fuaga and for Olufoshanu out of Penn State, but I liked Latham a whole lot. And then after that, these are the names to keep an eye on. These are the guys who have a tackle background, hit those athletic numbers, right? Beyond the top 40. Cooper Beebe from Kansas State, he played everything other than center for them. Patrick Paul out of Houston, he was their left tackle, has a brother in the league. I kind of think he's like a year away. He's kind of similar to like Tyler Guyton, but he plays left tackle instead of right tackle, kind of like a Rasheed Walker type of guy, but hopefully he's not as far away, right? Like you don't have to full-blown redshirt him for a year. Dominic Pooney from Kansas, he transferred up from a small school. He played both left tackle, left guard. He's probably considered more of a guard than anything else. Blake Fisher, the right tackle out of Notre Dame, he's like 21 years old, like just turned 21 years old. So that's something worth mentioning. Roger Rosengarten from Washington, he was the right tackle for Fatanu. He's someone to watch. I've seen like Mel Kiper mock him in the first round on the consensus draft board. He's like 120. So I think there's a wide range of where he could go in the draft. And then the last three guys, which are like the true like day three type of guys, right? Like not someone who fell into day three and stuff. It's a Tanner Bordellini, who Wisconsin fans will know. He played everything other than left tackle. I know the Wisconsin fans are like, don't let him snap, don't let him snap, don't let him snap. But the Packers apparently brought him in on a pre-draft visit, which is just another box to check. I think the Packers sent three people, including general manager Brian Gutekunst, who, not surprising that, it's a short trip to Madison relatively from Green Bay compared to these other programs, that they would have so many people represented there. But I'm circling, underlining, highlighting that name. And then Brandon Coleman from TCU, he played everything other than center, mostly played tackle. The last guy, Nick Garglione, Gargiolu, that's what it is, from South Carolina. So he played left tackle at Yale up until 2023 and then transferred to South Carolina, where he ended up playing guard and mostly center. So that's a guy who, precision versatility, all that stuff, hit the athleticism numbers. Oh, and by the way, you know who you tried to get him to transfer from Yale that year? Oh, Jeff Hafley.
Interesting.
Interesting. Interesting.
You guys have been on the Halfley stuff quite a bit in terms of his connection dating back to high school recruiting, even at Ohio State. We're talking, and it's COVID screwing all this up, but it's back to like 2018 guys that he was recruiting. It's wild. This co the pandemic stuff needs to go away. It's driving me crazy. There are guys in this draft class that have played almost 60 games in college. It's bonkers how long some of these guys have been there. That's an aside, but.
Yeah, and I do want to mention this too, since we're on the topic already. Boston College is a different program than a lot of these, Power Five schools. If you look at just the volume of scholarships that are given out, like an Alabama can send out 600 scholarships to guys, and they don't have to be actionable scholarships, right? Just saying, hey, I'm giving you an offer doesn't mean anything. Like they can, decline that offer whenever they want, right? They can rescind it or anything like that. Schools like Boston College, and I know this far too well because I worked with way too many Stanford football guys in my career. It's like a 3-year recruiting process, and they're vetting those kids in a way that other programs aren't. And they're making sure that, like, hey, you're on top of your academics so that if you get here, you can take calculus as a freshman, right? It's like Notre Dame is different, Stanford's different, Boston College is different. So I think when we're talking about guys that Halfley recruited from the high school level who are now in this draft class, it's not as much as like, hey, we just gave him an offer out of high school. I really don't know this kid. Like, you kind of got to like intimately know those guys, and you start recruiting those kids when they're like sophomores in high school, right? So they know a lot about these individual players.
That's something actually he mentioned a couple different ways prior to coming to Green Bay, just the frustrations with trying to compete the way Boston College does things in the kind of modern college football landscape. You can tell that it was wearing on him a lot, the way that they had to recruit and just the way that even that recruiting had to change to fit in this college football landscape. It seems exhausting to be a college football coach.
Yeah, and with the transfer portal, I mean it's hard to get guys into Boston College. I mean, a couple years ago, I was spacing on his name. There was the quarter KJ Costello, I believe, the quarterback out of Stanford, and they got that COVID year, right? So hey, you graduated from Stanford. Most college football quarterbacks just go and get their graduate degree, right? Stanford's not just going to let you get a graduate degree at Stanford Because you're the quarterback of the football team. That dude had to end up transferring out to Mississippi State. So when we're talking about that Yale offensive lineman, being a highly sought after transfer for Boston College, it's because he's one of the few guys that they could like actually get into school, right? Like that's something to, worth considering too.
Glad we don't have to weigh all that stuff when we're talking NFL draft. Flipping over to defense, Tyler, you mentioned a lot of defensive line talent toward the top of the draft. Who do you like, late first round, early second round, or really any point, I guess, near the top of the draft, and maybe some late round prospect as we try to figure out what the Packers are doing here.
Yeah, so the most interesting player I keep seeing mocked to the Packers is Byron Murphy out of Texas. And I only think he's getting mocked because of, excuse me, Kenny Clark noise, which I don't know if there's, I don't think there's any like validity behind it. I don't have any sources, but like, what does the future hold for Kenny Clark? Can they get an extension with this just booming defensive tackle market? And if you want a long-term successor to him, drafting Byron Murphy, if he's somehow still there, you trade up to get him. Just crazy motor, like flies off the line. And for a guy that's quote unquote undersized, just plays with phenomenal leverage and can like anchor against double teams and just does all this stuff that you'll fall in love with. But I don't think they go that route, but I'm not ruling it out if they're not confident in keeping Kenny in Green Bay. Other guy I really like, Rook Ororo, which I know, John, you've mentioned you're a little afraid of them drafting just because you have to pronounce that name. But a guy that's only been playing football since his junior year of high school. And when you turn on the tape, I mean, there's a couple times you can kind of see that, but for a guy at that size, they play him all over the line. He plays with really good extension. Another guy that flies off the line, holds his own really well. My only issues are obviously a little bit of technique, and then just when he is as a pass working as a pass rusher, there's just that tick of hesitancy where he needs a better plan of attack. Maybe he's not comfortable with like, a couple pass rush moves. Doesn't seem like he has those in his bag yet. But like from an upside perspective, I think that's a day two guy with his athletic profile and frame that could blossom into like a very good starter one day.
Justice, I wanted to ask specifically for scheme fit type stuff. There's some been some conversations about some push and pull within what Jeff Hafley's scheme could want on the defensive line and what Brian Gutekunst has typically historically liked in terms of defensive line, but I guess maybe more specifically edge rushers. How do you see that playing out in this year's draft? Is it something the Packers are going to try to do differently?
Yeah, I think in this defense, you don't want that true, like, we're just taking up space and nose tackle, right? Everything is just built off of penetration in a way that kind of makes me look at Slayton and his $3 million salary now because he got the, like, what is it, the playing time escalator that I'm like, I don't know if you're a scheme fit. Like, should they just trade him for a pick? Like, maybe. And, address a nose tackle that who can actually penetrate a little bit and is more of what you want, especially if, you're going into a season with an unknown in Kenny Clark and his contract situation, if you don't feel great about getting that thing done. I do like this defensive tackle class. Like I think there's value. Like Michael Hall out of Ohio State, he's more of like a long, skinnier pass rusher type of guy. Mekhi Wingo is a guy who is being mostly mocked in like the fourth round. I think he's like a second round pick. He wore 19, which is a big deal in LSU. Ended the season injured, so like maybe he's losing a little bit of steam because of that, but kind of checks every single box. I know he's a little undersized. Christian Boyd is a guy that they not only went to Northern Iowa's pro day, but then they brought him in on a visit afterward. He was kind of like the big snub from the combine process. He basically dominated the East-West Shrine game. He's a guy who's a nose tackle who can actually penetrate, right? So he's a guy who, the Packers aren't scared of taking an FCS player, right? So maybe they find some value there. Brandon Dorlus out of Oregon, drink. I'm hyping up an Oregon guy. But he's like true freak. Athletic pass rusher, tweener. I don't know if you're going to play him on the edge on base downs or what, or if you're just going to have him be like a nickel pass rusher, but he's really interesting. One of the guys the Packers brought in for a pre-draft visit, Mason Smith, one of the other two defensive linemen from LSU in this draft class. He's more of like a nose tackle type of prospect. He can kind of get after it a little bit, but he's like living off of his freshman film at this point. So his sophomore year, he blew out his ACL in the opener, celebrating a play that he made against Florida State. And then this past year, it kind of just seemed like he was tuned out. So I kind of think he's one of those, like, I guess, like character evaluation things where they're like, let's bring the guy in and try to figure out like how he ticks type of thing.
Edge
Also, I
rusher.
don't think Brian Murphy is going to be there. That's Brian Murphy, I think, starts to become in the conversation as early as like 8 or 9 with that Falcons Bears
Oh yeah.
selection. So,
I agree. I think he's one of the top 10, 15 best players in this class.
I had someone tell me he's the best defender in this class yesterday on a phone call,
I
and
mean,
maybe.
I could see it. The corner class has some really good guys, but the edge class is fine. Good segue to talk about edges.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about next. Edge is not on paper a huge need for the Packers. On paper, you've got Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith and Lucas Van Ness and JJ Anagbare. But off paper, Preston Smith is probably looking at being done in Green Bay after the season. And JJ Anagbare is coming back from an ACL tear. So really, you've got two guys you can count on long term and really being anything at any point this season in Gary and Van Ness. What do you like at edge rusher? Is there a possibility the Packers take one?
I really like Marshawn Nyland out of Western Michigan as a potential Packers target. Kind of dominated in the MAC, good play strength. My biggest question is I don't know what the hell Western Michigan was doing with him. Played from weird depths. Like, remember Za'Darius Smith, where he would just kind of like wander around and then be like, all right, I'm going to pass rush. A lot of that vibe from like way too far out, which just didn't make sense. But crazy strong. I think he can hold up really well at the point of attack against the run, and then has, a bit of a pretty nice bull rush and a couple of moves as a pass rusher. Just think the upside on that guy, once he starts getting like legitimate NFL coaching, could be really special.
Yeah, and he's coming in on a visit with the Packers too. So keep that in mind. His run game production was a lot better than his pass game production.
Yeah.
I kind of think if the Packers are going to go a player in this class, it's probably more of like a athlete designated pass rusher type of guy. Because at some point you're going to get Enagbare back. You have Van Ness on the bench already. Preston Smith is basically playing on an incentives contract. Rashawn Gary's plenty strong. So I kind of think you're looking at like a designated pass rusher type of guy. The only guy in the first round I think who makes sense is like if they medically clear Laiatu Latu, maybe he's a guy who other teams don't clear and he ends up dropping to 25. He fused his neck, medically retired at one point, was in playing rugby. They try to get him to play professional rugby, and then he was like, "Ah, I'm going to try to play football one more time," and ended up transferring to UCLA, who cleared him medically after Washington's doctors didn't. Another guy from UCLA who I think is interesting is Gabriel Murphy. Small arms, really good pass rusher. I think has to be like a legitimate designated pass rusher. Can't like play defensive end on base downs and stuff like that. He does have a twin brother who's also in this class. If you guys want to check that out, yeah, UCLA has three pass rushers in this one. So yeah, I think he's an interesting name to watch too.
I was going to ask on Murphy, if you take Gabriel Murphy, do you move heaven and earth to get his brother too? Because
I think he just signs. His brother just signs as an undrafted free agent.
two for one.
One more name I wanted to bring up, Austin Booker out of Kansas. If you're talking about just like pure pass rush specialists, I think that's a good guy. Long, wiry, good burst, good short area quickness, has some dip and bend to him. Just an interesting guy that could be like a late day two, early day three kind of guy for me.
Bumping over to linebackers, this is a bit of a tricky one, as you guys mentioned way up top. Edrin Cooper, the consensus top guy, comes with some question marks there. Basically, question marks at anybody that with everybody the Packers have been linked to as far as drafting. If you had to pick one, who are you picking? And I guess why is it Trevon Wallace?
That boy hits. He is pretty strong, as Justice has pointed out on Draft Talk. Like, just all the signs are pointing to him. I know he's a bit stiff, as Justice pointed out, but I when he meets a ball carrier in the hole, I mean, that guy's not getting extra yards. I do enjoy that part of his game.
Yeah, so Wallace is a guy who's kind of been a riser throughout the process. He's one of the guys who, and only a handful of guys did this, declared and weren't like clear top 100 picks. Like, there's not a lot of underclassmen who are declaring who are doing that because of NIL. And I think the old adage that agents used to keep pushing to kids was basically like, get into the league, your second contract is the biggest deal. And then there's been backlash to that because so few guys actually hit that second contract. So more guys are staying in school. Wallace was one of the few guys who declared and was kind of like a question mark. And it was like, who kind of is this guy? Started for Kentucky. I think he just turned 21. He's got all the the size requirements that you would want from a linebacker, a position that is quickly becoming smaller and smaller every year because so few guys can run. I do think he's a little stiff. The interesting thing too is, the Packers have been to his pro day, invited him on a pre-draft visit, which, recently I think it was like 11 draft picks in the last 2 years have been brought in on visits, which is like half, which is crazy considering the Packers only have 30 visits and, how many odd, like probably half of them are, undrafted free agent recruitment visits, basically. And then on top of that, Jeff Hafley had him committed to play at Boston College before he ended up going to Kentucky. So he's an interesting guy. Other guys I like in this class, Cooper, obviously, he's my linebacker one. I think Junior Colson from Michigan just kind of like checks every box. Which is fine. Like, he's like a very average NFL linebacker, which
I'll
the
take
Packers
average.
could use. Yeah,
I'll take average.
we
The
watched a lot
Packers
of
could use
below
it.
average linebacker play as Packers fans in the 21st century, so
Right. Yeah.
Cedric Gray is my linebacker too. The kid
Same.
out of North Carolina. I think he can run better than people assumed, which, he kind of showed in the pre-draft process. Pretty good run stuffer. I think people just kind of thought that he was going to be like a thumper type of guy, but he was more athletic than that. Edifuan Olufoshio from Washington, huge fan of him. He reminds me of JLK in Cleveland, the kid who came out of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the kid who came out of Notre Dame a couple years ago. Real interesting background. I mean, from Nigeria, lived in Alaska, ended up being a walk-on at Washington. Apparently, he has a couple medical questions that he needs to kind of like shore up. The Packers brought in Tyron Hopper from Missouri as a pre-draft visit. Not a huge fan of him. He was kind of built like a defensive back at Missouri, and then it seems like he added a whole ton of weight during the pre-draft process, which is maybe why you want to loop back in with him and be like, wait, what do you look like right now? Like, was that just a thing that you did for Indy, or what's going on? And then Darius Mwasau, who I think is probably the most underrated running linebacker in this class. I got my hands on a linebacker board from an NFL team. He is one of their top five mics in this draft class. He's currently 248th on the consensus draft board. He is better than that. He is kind of like, he's kind of like Colson, where he just like checks every box. But the other thing that you could tell is he ran that defense for UCLA. He's the over communicate. I'm, basically point guard on the field, like making every single call possible, which I think the Packers maybe could need if, Quay is going to be the guy who's out there, in nickel reps, and he hasn't really done a whole ton of that. So I think he's an interesting guy to watch. He's going to go higher than the consensus has him right now.
So I broke everything down by positions on the consensus mock draft board back in the middle of March, and I had 18 linebackers among the top 250. Mwasau, interestingly, just quick looked at this because he did not pop for me, but he's third in the class of linebackers in sacks. He had 16 and a half. He's second in interceptions, or tied for second. He's third or second in passes defensed, and he's first in fumbles forced. So he's making plays on the ball all the time.
Yeah,
It's
and he's played a lot of football. He transferred up from Hawaii and basically got at Hawaii and was like instant starter. So he's seen a lot of things.
Some questions on testing with him, but if he can play, he can play. So
Yeah.
that's all it comes down to. All right, defensive backs. Seems like a pretty deep back or defensive back rich class, but I don't know how well it aligns with what the Packers really need because it seems like there's a good number of corners, but the Packers don't necessarily need one. I guess the first and biggest question here, since he's like the most popular mock draft target, do you guys see Cooper DeJean as a cornerback or a safety?
Yes. I could see him playing some corner. I can see why people want him at safety. I would just trust him more breaking downhill on a receiver than having to follow a more explosive guy deep downfield. But super instinctive, pretty dang good athlete, has return experience. I don't really care what position he was is. I would just want him on my team just because I think he's a competitive player with athleticism and instincts. And I just think it's a perfect recipe to be a successful long-term NFL player.
To me, in Green Bay, he's a safety. For most teams, I think he's a corner. I don't think there's anything that he's done that has ruled him out from being a corner. I just don't think that there's very many corners who can actually make that transition to safety. Cooper DeJean is one of them, and the Packers have a massive need at the safety position, right? That most NFL teams don't have. I spent most of my work at the safety position. I haven't seen that many cornerbacks outside of the top guys in this class.
I got you, Justice. Don't worry. I got 13 now.
Throw some corners my way then.
Yeah, if I know Kool-Aid's a guy that's getting mocked a lot, and he is my CB5. I don't know, I think I would want him in Green Bay. If you put him in pass coverage and man, like I don't know how many guys are getting catches on him, like lengthy, smooth, fast. My concerns are him getting picked apart in the run game. I think the effort comes and goes. I think he's too wiry, not strong enough that he will get bodied, washed out in the run game. Again, but they've brought him in for a visit, I believe. They've showed interest in him in his pro day. It is still a possibility. I really like TJ Tampa out of Iowa State. He's one of the better tacklers in the class. He's fearless, violent, again, long and wiry. I think he's has good discipline. They threw trick plays his way a few times on film, and he just doesn't bite. And then if you're looking kind of like farther down the board, another guy I think super interesting is Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky, Trevin Wallace's teammate. He's tenacious. He's got inside and out versatility. Doesn't have the best length or, like top tier athletic thresholds. An 8.1 RAS, so it's not like it's bad. But I just think that tenacity, smooth, can cover. It's a good combination. I think it's a worth a flyer as a day three pick.
Nate Wiggins too skinny for you.
Yeah, I love him though. That's the problem. I can't quit him. I watch his tape and I'm like, it's so fun to watch. It's just, yeah, at the NFL level, it scares me
£173 at the
a lot.
combine. That's insane.
Yeah.
And got hurt.
Yep.
Got hurt at that size.
Terrific. I mean, it got that going for you.
Watch the football though. It's fun.
It
You
is
watch him
fun.
play football.
Safety stuff. Justice, you've kind of been talking about this since Jeff Hafley came on as sort of the different roles in this scheme. Your deep safety, your box safety, and you've talked about it maybe being almost a market inefficiency for the Packers, being that they can look for a box safety when maybe other teams aren't quite looking at things the same way. Do you still think that? If so, who do you like?
Yeah, so the way that they've talked about it, at least McKinney in the press conference that he had in the Packers locker room after signing, was that he's going to play all over. So I think they're just going to rock and roll those safeties and just kind of, I guess, because you're seeing so much motion at the NFL level compared to the college level, you can't really, set your defense and then, hey, someone moves and you just flip the whole thing, right? Like someone's just got to like travel with that guy because he might be running a jet sweep, right? So I don't know if they're going to go that route. If they want to drop down safety, Newbin's a guy who can do that. Jaden Hicks is a guy who can do that. The kid out of Washington State, I thought he surprised me at least with how he ended up running. I thought he ran. I thought he was going to be like a 4.7 guy. He ran a 4.4. So what the heck do I know? James Williams out of Miami is a guy that who's legitimately being looked at as a potential linebacker convert. Like he's like 230 pounds, big guy, mean dude, bad guy on the football field.
A-hole.
Love him, would like him at linebacker if they want to give him a chance there. And then another guy who's fun, just as a name, Trey Taylor out of Air Force. Tyler, do you know what his background
No,
is?
I haven't watched this guy.
That is Ed Reed's nephew, and he hits very hard. So.
I like that. I mean, my number one guy is Bowlers. Every time I hear him talk, like the film, I was really impressed with. I just like his versatility. I do like how he fits against the run, and engages with blockers, even though he
Yeah.
is undersized. I just think the technique really helps him out. Like, it makes up for a lot of his size deficiencies. And he can move well enough that I've seen him jump some plays, make some nice plays on the ball against some faster receivers. But after I watched him play, I listened to him talk about football, and I'm like, that's just going to be a pro. Like, very smart, really loves digging into the weeds of the X's and O's, and I just really like that in the safety. And I've talked about with this justice and draft talk, if you want the versatile safety role with McKinney and you're facing pre-snap motion, having
Yeah.
another guy where you we can rock and roll, I think that's my
Bullard
guy.
and Newbin are probably the best fits in terms of guys who can do both things,
Yeah.
right? And again, the Newbin stuff, I know everyone's gonna look at his RAS and stuff like that, and totally fine. That's within your right and all that, but I want to keep in mind that's a guy coming off of injury, and we've seen
Yeah.
wonky numbers in those situations before. Guys who I don't think necessarily fit what the Packers want now because they already have McKinney. And if you're going to have a post safety, it's probably going to end up being McKinney, right? Kalen Bullock from USC,
Yep.
Dadrian Taylor-Demerson from Texas Tech. Malik Mustafa is maybe a guy who probably is a post safety at the NFL level, the kid out of
Don't
Wake
tell me that,
Forest.
Justice. Don't break my heart like that, Justice.
I know a lot of people like him a lot.
Oh, he's so fun.
Bo Braid is interesting because
Yeah.
like you could play him at strong safety if you want to like man up a bunch of stuff. Like he's kind of like it's funny because he's out of Maryland. He's kind of like Darnell Savage. So like maybe he could play a strong safety. Like he's a little bit thicker for a squatty guy. And then just a guy worth mentioning is Oladapu out
Yeah.
of Oregon State. Who there's an obvious connection within the building, which you know we've seen that ends up mattering when you end up taking a guy like Anders Carlson in the draft, and you know Rich Bisaccia says a lot of that has to do with you know the family connection and all that stuff and how long he's known him. Oladapu was coached by the Packers' current defensive quality control coach, who came via Oregon State, was the cornerbacks coach, and then once all the staff turnover happened. There, he was actually the interim defensive coordinator for the Beavers. So there's
Yeah.
a connection there with Oladapo within the building.
I didn't watch Oladapo before our draft talk episode on safeties. Watched him after the fact, but I like that he is physical. He's strong. He doesn't get overly grabby downfield, but he does also have good ball skills and can jump routes. Like, I just think it's an interesting flyer, because of that skill set.
So that's all the positions. We've talked through just about everything. I won't
You don't
waste your
want to
time
talk punters and kickers?
I'm not going to waste your time on punters and
Long
kickers.
snapper? No long snapper?
If you've got a long snapper take, I would love to hear it.
Nope,
Got
no.
zero. Got zero.
Okay. If you had one that was in your back pocket that you wanted to get out there, I figured I'd give you the chance at least. If there was one thing that you think the Packers are going to do next week in the draft, had to make one prediction that you believe is going to happen, what would it be?
They're going to draft some offensive linemen because they have no depth behind. I never, everyone's like happy with the starting five, even though Myers isn't that good and has an expiring contract, but they're looking at the first line of the depth chart and they're like, hey, we're good here. Behind them, the only guy with any sort of real playing time experience is Royce Newman, who, because of the playing time escalator, has like a $3 million unguaranteed salary right now. I'm not sure if Newman is going to end up making the team, right? So you're talking about potentially, I mean, they're gonna roster 10 guys, right? Like we could see them take three, maybe four offensive linemen in this draft with the amount of picks that they have. And that one shocked me. So offensive line is the one I'm circling. You know, obviously you want them to add some talent at linebacker and safety to kind of help them out so that you know Anthony Johnson Jr. isn't starting in week one. But offensive line is the position where I'm like early and often. They're going to try to hit that thing.
I think they're going to trade up for someone. I don't know if it's in the first round. I'm not saying that. I mean, it is a possibility, but I think the positions they need compared to the positions that are weak in the draft or thin in the draft, and the combination that they have 11 draft picks, there's going to be a guy they like in a position they're going to start going. I think they're going to move up to get a guy, whether it's a linebacker or a safety. Or again, it could be a first rounder. Like that is certainly in the realm of possibility. And just something about having 11 picks. I know Gutekunst loves his picks, but the way this roster is constructed, and you would need some guys to contribute right away to potentially contend for a Super Bowl. Just something tells me they're moving up for somebody.
Yeah, John, I don't know if you've done like the roster analysis and stuff, but like they're gonna have a hard time signing UDFAs.
Yeah.
Like they have like 10 spots if they use all their draft picks.
There are not a there, this roster is there's something that we've talked about every year about this time. Usually it's after the draft, but people don't understand how set the roster for week one is right now. Like it's basically done. This roster is constructed, other than a few draft picks that you're going to mix in here, but they know what it looks like. They know the spots they have available, and they're going to come out of this weekend basically ready to go. Other than, all your installs and stuff like that. But the thing is set. Like this thing is done cooking basically already.
Yeah, that's again why I think offensive line is one where early and often, because once you get to the second line of the depth chart, offensive line sticks out like a sore thumb.
A big thanks to both Justice and Tyler for stopping by today and giving us a little bit of their time to share some insights about what the Packers could do in the NFL draft this year. You can find both of their work at acmepackingcompany.com and on social media. We'll link to both of their Twitter profiles in the description of this episode. So I've got for you in this episode of Blue 58. I appreciate you tuning in. I'd appreciate it even more if you'd take a second and share this episode with someone you think would enjoy it. It's going to help more people find the show and get more people involved in this conversation we're having about the Green Bay Packers, which in turn is going to help all of us, me included, become smarter Packers fans. And as I always say, smarter Packers fans are better Packers fans, and better Packers fans are what we all want to be. I'm your host, John Meerdink. We'll see you next time on Blue 58.